Hello and welcome to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. On today's show, we chat with Sandra Ifu from Keano College on a Master's of Education program coming to the college thanks to a partnership with the University of Alberta. Staff Sergeant Sabrina Clayton joins the show as well to talk about a recent string of spiked drinks as well as some long weekend safety tips. Justin Shelley from Environment Canada wraps up the show to discuss the forecast heading into the weekend. Sandra Ifu from the Keano College, she is the Vice President of Academic and Student Experience, joins us on the phone today. Sandra, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Hey, that's good to hear. Thank you so much for your time. Tell us about this partnership with the University of Alberta to bring the Master of Education Studies program to Keano College.
Yeah, absolutely. It came about a few years ago following conversations with teachers locally in the community and also conversations with senior administration over at the University of Alberta. And quite quickly, we realized that there is a need to bring such a program in town to ensure that the teachers within the region have the academic support to help them upgrade and to help them really advance in their academic pursuits. And so that's how the program came about. So it's the Master of Education in Educational Studies. It's something that is being delivered by the University of Alberta, but certainly working closely with them to ensure that teachers do have access, do have the opportunity to take on those programs, of course, online, but also planning specific in-person components here at the college.
I imagine there's been significant interest from potential students in this program.
Yes, no, we're very excited. It's the first cohort, and we're hoping to have additional cohorts run in the future. And so right now, we've welcomed 19 students into the winter 2024 cohort. And so, like I said, upwards from here, hopefully in a few years, we're able to welcome additional students to take the program.
Walk us through the courses being offered through this new program at Keano.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the first thing that I'm going to say is that the courses are designed to have real-life application for teachers here within the community. And so in taking some of the classes, we're looking at courses that do adhere to the Alberta Leadership Quality Standard. And it just provides a strong framework to support professional development of teachers, educational leaders, both in that formal and informal administrative and leadership position throughout the province. And so what teachers can expect, well, it's a diverse learning environment. They'll be taking courses on, again, leadership, as I mentioned, but also learning about some of the challenges that are currently facing education overall, not just in Alberta, but in Canada as a country.
And to confirm, this is an entirely in-person course?
It's a mix. We like to refer to it as a blended offering. So there will be options delivered online. And in the summer of this year, we're looking at having components delivered in person here at the college.
I know some Master of Education programs in Canada have different route options, be it courses, practicum, thesis, or portfolio. Will Keano offer those route options as well?
That's the nice thing about a graduate program such as this. There's the opportunity for different pathways. And so we continue to have close conversations with the University of Alberta to ensure that learners are being provided with some of those options. And so the short answer is yes. It's designed to ensure that whatever interest participants may have, that they have the opportunity to explore those throughout the program.
You kind of touched on this a little earlier on, Sandra, but how was this curriculum for the Master of Education program developed?
So it's developed through the University of Alberta Faculty of Education. So they have a long-standing history of delivering education-related programming. And so the curriculum is developed and led by experts within the field. And those experts span Alberta and also international and nationally as well. So these experts look to ensure that the curriculum being delivered are timely, and that they do respond to the needs of not just today, but the future as well.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, Sandra, as you know, how, like, the, I'm just wondering how the courses align with the current teaching techniques, seeing as teaching has evolved so much, even since when I was in school nearly 10 years ago.
That's right. I think with COVID too, we've learned the term, you know, adapting, and you know, the increased use of technology in the delivery of learning. And so, yes, absolutely. I think students can experience and anticipate that there'll be some changes in quote unquote status quo and ways of delivering traditional education. Now, as I mentioned, this is a blended program, which means that there's an element of online delivery, which, as you mentioned, you know, decades ago, I think that would have been really difficult for most people to fathom. But we are in that time where we are able to deliver parts of the program online, but also providing that in-person piece, the importance of that connection with individuals within your cohorts. The other piece too is the evidence-based research. I think academia is really founded on that. So that is expected to continue through this program and ensuring that learners are exploring educational improvement opportunities. And also just the continued conversations around challenges and opportunities that are implicit in some of these research findings, and discussing some of the implications for practice and future research. So I think that hopefully sheds a few light on what learners can expect in an ever-evolving society.
So how important is it for the college to continue to offer new programs and opportunities for potential students at Keanu?
Oh, absolutely critical. You know, one of the things that as a region, as a community, we always talk about is we want to support people to live here, to learn here, and to continue to thrive in Fort McMurray with Buffalo. And so we will continue to have those conversations with key stakeholders in our community to ensure that whatever their training needs are, whatever their academic desires are, that we're working to ensure that those are being provided. Now, how wonderful is it, right, that teachers in town are able to stay here and complete their master's program without having to relocate or leave town, right? So that's why we're here, right? As a college, we want to make sure that we're continuing to listen and respond to the needs of our community.
And do you feel that this could help potential students, say, who are maybe in high school right now, looking at an education career, stay in Northeast Alberta for their education, post-secondary, and maybe even career?
You know, I do hope so. I do hope so because, again, you know, a lot of the youth have families, they have connections here in town, and we don't want them to have to choose between taking their studies elsewhere and continuing to stay close to home and connected with family. So we want to make sure that we're providing them with those opportunities to complete quality, strong educational programs locally in town. Absolutely.
For folks who may not know, how does a Master of Education help those who pursue it?
Oh, that's a really good question. You know, one of the things about a program like this is that it opens up a lot of doors. It's really designed for a wide range of professional experiences in education. So not only for practitioners from, say, K to 12, but there's also higher education classrooms and administration, leadership, research. So there are just a lot of options available to anyone that takes a program such as this.
Sandra Ifu, the Vice President of Academic and Student Experience at Keanu College. Anything else you'd like to add on the new program and partnership with the University of Alberta?
Oh, no, no, thank you. It's been a really wonderful conversation today, and thank you for the opportunity to share more about the program and to just share our excitement as well around the opportunity to bring such quality program to our community. Thank you.
Sandra, thank you again so much for the time today.
Thank you. Take care.
We'll be back with more next on Fort McMurray Matters. Joining me on the phone here today, Staff Sergeant Sabrina Clayton from the Wood Buffalo RCMP. Staff Sergeant, how are you doing here today?
I'm well, and you, Ryan?
I'm doing fairly well as well. I wanted to ask about the spiked drinks situation that warranted a news release this week. What can you tell me about that incident?
So RCMP, again, are investigating allegations of, or reports, pardon me, of spiked drinks, so meaning drinks that have been laced with other items, potentially drugs, items that may harm a person, render them unconscious, that type of thing, make them ill. We are continuing to investigate following some reports from back in the summertime. It's not linked to one particular establishment, but unfortunately it seems to be all too common, and we're finding that it's going underreported. One of the biggest issues that we're facing in policing with respect to the spiked drinks is that we're dealing with a timeline. When someone feels ill and being able to get the testing done on maybe the drink or, you know, their blood, that kind of thing, and being able to identify where it happened and what's being used. So the biggest thing is if you suspect yourself or a friend of yours is acting oddly or behavior has changed and you suspect it's due to a spiked drink, big thing there is get them to medical aid right away and let the police know as well. So report it immediately to police when it's appropriate, once that medical piece has been satisfied, just so that we can do additional checks and confirm if there is in fact something going on.
How concerning is this for you to see in Fort McMurray?
It's very concerning. It's always been a concern of police, and unfortunately it's continuing. People do have to be aware when they leave their drink, go to the washroom, take your drink with you. Don't ever leave it unattended. It is a concern because we don't know what the outcome would be for that person, whether or not it's leading to nefarious reasons or it could actually impact someone's long-term health and wellness.
I understand this isn't necessarily a new issue for Fort McMurray either, as your news release indicates that this was also reported in July of last year as well.
That's right. And as I said, we're still continuing to investigate those incidents back from the summer, but we have had a couple of recent reports in the last couple of weeks of similar type of occurrences. So again, we just felt the need to send it out to the community, just as a reminder, also to call police as well. So don't forget that piece. Deal with the medical issue, but let police know so that we can conduct a proper investigation and see where these incidents are occurring and if there's any link to them.
What are some of the more common substances used to spike drinks?
It can be anything from additional alcohol to illicit drugs to prescription drugs. We aren't able to say right now completely what kind of items are being used to lace drinks, but we do know, of course, GHB, people are aware of the certain types of illicit drugs that are potentially placed into drinks to render somebody unconscious, to make them more of a victim.
And how can you tell if your drink is spiked, or how can you protect yourself from spiked drinks?
Well, protecting yourself from spiked drinks is, you know, watch your drink being poured. Don't accept a drink from someone you don't know. And again, keep an eye on your drink yourself, whether, you know, you're sitting with friends at a table. Make sure if you leave and go to the washroom, I would suggest you take that drink with you.
Switching gears, Staff Sergeant, winter roads open, but mixed with some near zero temperatures coming up. That could make for a rough ride. What are some things people should keep in mind?
Absolutely. So we do know this year has been a bit of an interesting year with our weather. The weather has been nicer than average. Unfortunately, it's causing havoc for those winter roads and people who need to use the winter road to get to, and also being able to visit family, right? So again, be prepared for changing weather conditions. Given the fact that we're looking at some warmer temperatures over the weekend, it can lead to soft spots. Make sure you have adequate emergency gear with you in case you do get stuck. If you have a satellite phone, that's always a good thing to have when you're going on the winter road, because we do know cell service is spotty in most places, and to be able to access help if you need it.
What are some of the more common challenges people have with traveling on the winter roads?
the biggest thing this year I think we've seen is the large ruts. So if you don't have a good quality 4x4 or good quality tires, you may get stuck. Again, speed is always a factor, so keep speed low, especially in spots that are soft. You don't want to, you know, cause issues with swishing underneath. So again, just travel safely, travel to the speed you're comfortable traveling, and travel to those changing conditions of the road.
And it may be nice out, so people may forget or may not think they should need to be as prepared when traveling on the winter roads. What are some of those things that are good to have on hand when heading out onto the winter roads?
Again, we always recommend during winter travel at any time that you have an emergency kit with you. You know, enough supplies to get you through a day in case you get stuck. Clothing, winter clothing. So when it's nice out, we always forget that toques and mitts and extra... good idea. Candles, some food supplies, some water is always recommended. And just in case you do get stuck for a significant amount of time waiting for a tow truck or help or another person to come along the winter road as well.
The long weekend is coming up as well with Family Day on Monday. What are some things to keep in mind for people looking to take advantage of the long weekend?
The big thing there is we are expecting to see an increase in traffic as more motorists are using the highway and the roads to visit friends and family across the province, being Monday is the holiday. We want to ensure everyone has a safe holiday and remind Albertans to follow driving safety tips, not to drive while under the influence. Alcohol and drugs is a big impact to driving. Always make sure that if you are partaking this weekend that you have a safe way to get home. Again, just like with the winter road, drive to the conditions. So as we may experience, you know, one part of the province, we may have beautiful sunny skies, and the other we might have winter weather driving conditions. So the speed limit is a maximum speed in ideal conditions. Always make sure to slow down if there are things that may affect your driving, like snow or ice or poor visibility. Be mindful of other users. With winter spring, you can expect to see more people participating in winter activities this weekend. Keep an eye out for ATVs or others who may be sharing the road in the shoulders or ditches. Be prepared before you set out on the road. Make sure you have your GPS, radio, electronics, and mirrors all set up properly so that you're not distracted while you're driving out this weekend. Always a reminder to use safety equipment and restraints. So make sure everyone in your vehicle is properly secured in seatbelts or child safety seats before driving. If you're going to be using an off-road vehicle this weekend, your snowmobile or an ATV, make sure you wear the appropriate safety helmet. And let people know where you are. Before you leave, make sure you tell your family and friends the route that you're taking and when they can expect you. This is so essential, especially when traveling across great distances. We want to make sure everyone gets to their destination safely. And if you haven't told anyone where you're going or you expect to be, we may get a report of a missing family, which we don't want to have this weekend. So we just hope everyone has a safe long weekend and travel safely.
Does Wood Buffalo RCMP typically see an increase in impaired driving on long weekends, or is that just kind of a steady thing?
Unfortunately, impaired driving never seems to let up, but we do see an increase on holidays. People, again, just celebrating getting together, maybe forgetting that they have an obligation not to drive while impaired. So to use a taxi, a rideshare service, and when all else fails, maybe plan to stay the night if you don't have a safe way to get home. We want everyone to enjoy a safe long weekend without any fatalities or injuries as a result of impaired driving.
And speeding, I imagine that gets a bit of a highlight on long weekends as well.
Absolutely. We know everybody wants to get to their destination faster than maybe they should be. Again, speed limits are set for everyone's safety, for all users of the roadway. And unfortunately, you know, you will see the police out there, and there will be a few people, I'm sure, that will get tickets this weekend. But again, if you travel to the speed limit and you travel safely, everyone will get to their destination without any extra tickets on hand.
Are there any other interesting trends you notice when looking back at long weekends over the years when it comes to crime in the Wood Buffalo region?
We do know, of course, with long weekends in Wood Buffalo, a lot of people leave the community to visit family and friends and take advantage of long weekends. As a result, we do see an increase potentially in crimes of opportunity, break-in and enters to residences with people not home. Again, if you haven't already, look to installing surveillance cameras or alarms. Let your neighbors know when you're going to be home or when you're not going to be home if you trust them. To let the police know if they see someone suspicious around your home, make sure you lock all your windows and doors and leave lights on just to detract any potential criminality.
Staff Sergeant Sabrina Clayton from the Wood Buffalo RCMP, thank you so much for the time today.
Thank you. Take care.
We'll be right back with more on Fort McMurray Matters after the break. And we're back on Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. Joining me on the phone here today is Justin Shelley, the meteorologist from Environment Canada. Justin, how are you doing here today?
I'm doing okay. Yourself?
Doing well as well. Back to the positive side of temperatures coming up here. What can we expect leading into the weekend?
Yeah, so we have been experiencing a relatively warm month of February overall, and that's only going to continue as we head into Friday and the long weekend with daytime high temperatures, especially on Friday and Saturday, possibly cracking zero or a few degrees above. Slightly cooler on Sunday, a degree or two below zero that day, but still well above normal for this time of year, probably about 10 degrees above normal for this time of year, with the average daytime high somewhere around minus 7 and the overnight low somewhere near minus 18, minus 19, and we're going to be sitting around minus 10 for the next several nights. So a fair weather forecast for this long weekend.
What's factored into this night's stretch of weather in the area?
Yeah, so we actually have a large upper ridge, which is allowing for this warmer air mass to move down from the north, actually. So we don't often get the warm air masses coming down from the north, but that is the case in this this setup we're seeing this week and into the weekend. So over the weekend, we'll see that warmer air mass slump farther south over the province, and then sort of middle of early next week, we're going to see those temperatures drop back down to more seasonal temperatures.
Historically speaking, is it all that common to see positive temperatures in the middle of February?
Yeah, so taking a look back at some previous years, of course, we've had a couple degrees above normal so far this February as well. But, you know, looking back at last year, we actually had a handful of days above zero in February, between February 9th, the 11th, 12th, 13th, and 16th. And then back in 2022, we had a couple of days. So if I look back here the last decade or so, most years have had at least a couple of days above zero sometime in the middle part of the month, if not the third or fourth week of February.
Going from an overnight forecasted low of minus 21 last night to a high of plus 3 for Friday, that has to be quite the temperature swing.
Yeah, it's certainly a big swing, but I'd say it's not too uncommon this time of year as we start to see those seasonal swings as we head towards the shoulder season. We're coming up to the last couple of weeks of meteorological winter here, and we're expecting February to end off well above normal in the context of previous Februaries. And then as we head into March, temperatures are going to likely moderate or come back down to closer to normal values again, but it's still a bit early to put too much weight into that forecast quite yet. It's just looking at the larger trends.
This nice weather has to be a welcome change for folks working outside this time of year.
Yeah, it certainly will be. And it's sort of tough to track this family day long weekend because it's, you know, held on a different date every year, the third Monday of every year. But I took a quick look back the last couple of long weekends in February, and we are in for a treat in comparison to years past. Last February long weekend, we actually had overnight lows near minus 30 every night of that weekend, and temperatures did not get above minus 15. And back in 2022, family long weekend, we actually had one of the overnight lows hit minus 42 that year. And back in 2021, again, temperatures were about minus 10 to minus 17 during the day and minus 24 to minus 34 overnight. So certainly going to be a welcome change from, you know, family day weekends past, but also continuing that warmth we've seen so far this winter.
So say we hit plus three tomorrow. How close is plus three to a record for this time of year?
Yeah, so we would have to go quite a bit above the expected forecast values to come close to those record, that record territory. So if I take a look at the records here, and over the weekend, so let's say the 16th and the 17th, the daily records are 11.6 for Friday and 11.1 for Saturday, and then 13.3 for Sunday. So it's going to be well above normal, but still quite a ways below record territory for this weekend.
Saw some late snow last night in Fort McMurray. What are the chances we see more in the next few days?
Well, it looks like it's going to be a relatively dry pattern here for the next week or so. We're not seeing all that much in the way of precipitation moving forward. That upper ridge is going to move into the area starting tomorrow, and that's sort of going to limit the potential of any systems to move into the region. But taking a look at to early to mid-next week, yeah, there's really not too much of a signal there showing any significant precipitation, but there looks like there might be a chance of an odd flake or two by early to mid-next week.
You mentioned it'll be a mild finish to February, but I did ask you this the last time we spoke. Looking long range, any chance we see those extreme cold temperatures return again this winter?
Yeah, well, we're heading into the latter part of February, so the later we get into the season, certainly that probability of those extreme values starts to fall off pretty quickly. And taking a look at the extended forecast through the middle of February to the middle of March, it looks like we're going to be somewhere in the near normal range to maybe slightly below normal range for that 4-week period. But that wouldn't quite put us into the range from what I'm looking at now to see those extreme cold values return. But we might just see those temperatures dip back into maybe the minus 20s at some point in early March. But as of right now, the next 2 weeks, it looks like those temperatures are going to remain pretty well above normal. And just taking a look at the forecast for the rest of the month, overnight lows really don't dip below minus 15 too many times, and daytime highs could get back above zero by the following weekend.
Justin Shelley, the meteorologist with Environment Canada, thank you so much for the time today.
No problem.
That was our show for today. A big thank you to my guests for joining the show today. On tomorrow's show, the Alberta Winter Games hit Grand Prairie, so we'll tee that up and talk to some of the local teams heading to the games this weekend. Thank you for listening to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Ryan McNally. Have a great day.